Thank the Lord that He does give us the Holy Spirit to be that unseen hand, that hand that leads us, guides us 24/7. You know, when you were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. And He's there to guide you, to comfort you, to encourage you, to teach you, to reprove you. Whatever you need. And aren't we so glad that Jesus did that for us? I mean, you know, when He was here in the flesh, there's one of Him, and He couldn't get around to everybody, but when He sent the Holy Spirit to live in the lives of every believer, then you can have the Holy Spirit, I can have the Holy Spirit, somebody over in Africa or China or wherever that knows Jesus, the Holy Spirit can guide and direct and take care of them just as easily. With the wisdom of God. And you know, sometimes I need that wisdom. Well, all the time I need that wisdom. Let me rephrase that. All the time I need that wisdom. Because without it, we just don't know which direction to go. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll look at some of the verses at the end of that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Start at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, if you remember from last week, we talked about how special we are to the Lord. That your soul, any one of us, is more valuable than all the money in the world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That you are so special to God that He swapped His Son for your salvation. Jesus came to die a ransom for many. And that you are so precious to the Lord that He wants to spend an eternity with you in heaven. You are special to the Lord. Now, when we receive that, when we believe that, when we choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior, something wonderful, wonderful happens. You may remember a hymn that goes like this: what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul. Like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Now Rufus McDaniel wrote that song. What do you think he was feeling? I think he was excited about the relationship he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he could not fathom the depths of the joy and the release and the happiness that he had because Jesus had come into his heart. Now Paul, as he writes to these Corinthian Christians, said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature and old things have passed away and everything else has become new. Now notice Paul puts a little if there. He said, if he's in Christ. You see, not everybody that says, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian really is. I know the first time we went to Brazil on a mission trip, they said, don't ask anybody if they're a Christian, because everybody in Brazil is a Christian. They were baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church. They've mixed their Catholicism with a lot of witchcraft and a lot of other stuff, and it's just weird what a lot of people believe. So ask them if they are a believer in Jesus Christ. And you get a different answer. Some are and some aren't. Paul said, if a man's in Christ, he's a new creature. That means that more than we've just reformed a little bit. You know, on TV used to be all those ads, the new improved Tide, the new improved Ford, the new improved Chevy. But it was still Tide, and it was still a Ford, and it was still a Chevy. That Ford didn't become an airplane. Paul said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. You're not just new and improved. You know, there are people that say are drunks or drug addicts or in immorality, and they say, you know, this lifestyle's killing me. I'm going to just reform, and I'm going to go to church. But that doesn't make them a Christian. There are people that have an emotional experience. And maybe they sob lots of tears, or maybe they do something else, but that doesn't make them a Christian. Paul says we're a new creature. We're a new creation, some translations have it. Something inside of us has happened when we come to the realization, you know, I'm a sinner. As such, I'm away from Almighty God. Jesus is the Savior. He's the only one that can save me. He's the only one that can make a difference in my life. And I personally accept Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, and I invite him into my heart and life to save me. Something happens when we make that commitment and we mean it. Something happens inside of us and we become a new creature, a new creation. Now, like he says, old things are passed away, all things become new. You know, the old sinful lifestyle is going to start dying out. It's going to die out because as a Christian, we don't want to sin. Now, it's amazing how in some people it dies out, certain areas die out quickly. And for other folks, it takes a while. Now, don't get discouraged if certain things take you a little while. I remember a man giving his testimony. He got saved when he was in his 40s. And I heard him give his testimony later. He said, you know, the next day at work, and it was about 4 o'clock, and I realized I hadn't cussed out anybody on the job. You know, his habit before he got saved, his pattern was go around telling off everybody that was not working to suit him. I mean, he was the boss. And so he was going around telling everybody off. And then he realized that Monday afternoon, I didn't do that for anybody. You know, God just delivered him quickly. Some others he didn't deliver quite so quickly. But we begin to hate the things that God hates because our nature has changed. You know, you go to the fair and you go back in the livestock exhibit and they got these pretty little pigs that they've washed up and they put a little pink ribbon or something on their little curly tail and all of that kind of stuff. They look so cute. But you turn that pig loose and if he can find a mud hole, he's going to that mud hole because that's his nature. Now, my understanding is that sheep do their very best not to get dirty. They don't want to be in a mud hole. They want to stay away from a mud hole. It's a different nature. And you know, when a person says, I'm a Christian, and they continue to indulge in sin, things that the Bible says are wrong, things that God says he hates, over and over and over again, you have to question, Does their heart really know Jesus? Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And things are made new. We begin to love the things that the Lord loves. We begin to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, even when some of them aren't very lovable. We begin to love church. You know, when a person says, I'm a believer, and they continually over and over and over again don't go to church anywhere, I begin to wonder. They're either not saved or they're terribly backslidden. Christ died for the church. He loves the church. Now, that doesn't mean that we got to go to a certain church. You know, when we moved to Oklahoma, we had our choice of maybe 300 churches. And we visited probably 10 or 12 of them. And a lot of those were like those college athletes, one and done. One visit, and we knew we weren't going back. When even the greeter at the front door doesn't speak to you, you know, it sort of makes you wonder, do they really, you know, when they've got greeters, I mean, you know, that's their job to greet you. And when they don't, and you know, they don't even speak to you, you wonder. So, you know, but there was about three or four that we could have gone to, and then one that we chose. Because we love church. Now, we were out there, and my wife knew me, and my daughter and her family. Nobody else, as far as I know, in Tulsa County knew who I was. I could have stayed home every Sunday and nobody would have known, and only the Lord would have cared. I've got a preacher friend up in the mountains, best preacher friend I had when I was up there. He and I used to joke that when we retired, we were going to get us a little Methodist church that only had Sunday morning services and wouldn't have to go to church but once a week on Sunday morning. I retired and went to Oklahoma and ended up going to church. They had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting on Monday morning, prayer meeting on Wednesday morning, and a Bible study on Tuesday morning and Thursday morning, and I ended up going to all of it. And, you know, my wife was teaching school. You know, I could have stayed and watched reruns of I Love Lucy or something. But, you know, my heart wanted to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. God says, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature, and the old has passed away and everything else has become new. Because your heart has been changed and it makes a difference. He also goes on to say there, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. In verse 19, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to himself. You know, he brought us together. Reconciliation means this here, and it's brought together. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, brought us together. You know, you remember the vision that Isaiah had when he was in the temple, when King Uzziah died in chapter 6? I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And suddenly I cried out, I'm a sinner, I'm an undone. I live in the midst of an unclean people and I have unclean lips. And Isaiah saw the holiness of God and Isaiah realized, hey, there's no way I can get from where I am to where he is. He is so holy and so righteous. You know, even those seraphim, as they cried, flew around the throne, crying out, holy, holy, holy. Says they took two wings and covered their eyes because God's holiness was so brilliant. But you know, the angel came and he took the coal and put it on Isaiah, from off the altar, and put it on Isaiah's lips and he made him clean. Jesus reconciles us to the Father. Jesus reconciles us to the Father. We are sinners. We were sinners. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in Him and that power in the blood that we sang about a few moments ago, we are made right with the Father. And you know, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins from us. Do you ever think about the fact that east and west never meet? Now, if you could go over here to the Charlotte, to the airport, and get on one of those planes that can be refueled from the air, and you start flying east, and you go across the coast and the Atlantic Ocean, and you'd hit Europe, and you're flying what, east? And you're flying east. And you'll go across China. You'll go across the Pacific. You hit the coast of California. You're still going east. You don't ever get west. When you get back to Charlotte, you've been going east all the way around the world. If you flip around and fly the other direction, you're going west all the way. But the east and the west never meet. That's how far God's removed your sins from you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They are so far removed that they're never going to be held against you again. Once you come to the place and admit, Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He's reconciled us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 19, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, they're not on our record anymore. It's hard to remember and to stretch our human minds enough to not realize that God doesn't remember our sins. We say, God can't forget anything. He remembers everything. But He says, God remembers our sins no more. And the devil starts assaulting you and about something that you did 47 years ago. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up 47 years ago. Now, you've already confessed it before then. And the Lord says, I don't seem to recollect that. He does not count our sin against us once we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm glad that the sin in my life has been forgiven and washed away by that precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And notice in verse 21, He had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I don't think many of us really comprehend the glory and the power of that verse. On the cross, Jesus, who had never sinned one time, took upon Himself the sins of the whole world. And notice it said, He became sin. Is that what it said? Made Him to be sin. In other words, His very being became sin for you and for me. I mean, we think about the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Stalins and Saddam Husseins and the mass murderers and all of those people. And then we think about our own sin, how tremendous the number of sin has been committed in this world. And it was all on Jesus. It was all on Jesus. He became sin for us. And what was the exchange? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, we don't get that sometimes. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I know there's a song to this effect, and Your group may even sing it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But God doesn't see you that way. God sees you as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He sees you with the same righteousness that Jesus had. He sees you as pure and holy. Oh, he recognizes your sin and the things we probably messed up this morning before we got to church. I won't ask for a show of hands, but somebody probably had a fuss with their wife on the way to church. You know, it's amazing, you know, how we can have a fuss with our wife on the way to church and get out. Hey, everybody. Glory to the Lord, you know. You know. But the thing is, God looks at you as the righteousness, with righteousness. He sees you as holy. And it encourages us to live up to that. To live out of that power. To live out of that position. To live out of that glory. He said, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God looks at you as righteous. He looks at you as holy. God looks at you, He sees you through the lens of Jesus. Because Jesus lives in you. We strive for that. We work for that. And you see what a wonderful thing it is that God does for us. It's what He does for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, you know, me pulling myself up by my bootstraps, making a better person out of myself. It's me bowing before the Lord saying, God, I can't do it. But I come to Jesus and Jesus does it in me and for me and through me. And the same for you. It concerns me how many people that think, you know, my name's on the church roll, but they give little evidence of being a new creation. They give little evidence that old has passed away. Little evidence that the new has surpassed and supplanted the old. And little evidence of the righteousness of Jesus in their life. Do they really know the Lord? I'm glad I'm not the one to judge. But He will at the end of life. He will at the end of life. No wonder Mr. McDaniel could write floods of joy, or my soul like the sea billows rolls as Jesus came into my heart. He was so excited because he had gone from death to life. He'd gone from an enemy of God to a child of God. He'd gone from the devil's control to the Holy Spirit's control. And God could look at him and say, I see in you the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for what the Lord has done for us? Aren't you glad for what the cross means? Aren't you glad that the fact that we live in a sinful world, we were born sinners, doesn't define our destiny? Because we get to choose. Heaven or hell, with the devil or with Christ. We get to choose an old sinful nature or a new righteous nature in Christ Jesus. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you and me. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I ask you to do that. I'm not asking you, are you a member of this church or some other church? I'm not asking you, were you baptized? I'm asking, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him today. If you're here and you're sure you're a Christian, just praise him, thank him, glory in him, rejoice in him. Let that joy bubble up inside as you celebrate, I'm a new creation because of Jesus. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, all I can say is thank you. Thank you that you so loved us that you gave your Son that we might have eternal life. And Father, now I pray not only that we've listened to your word, but that we might have anointed ears to hear your word. Lord, if there's anyone here that's not ready for eternity, may they give their heart and life to Jesus this day. And Father, may those here who are ready have a new joy in their salvation. May they recognize that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And not just walk around with their heads hanging down about being a sinner, but see that new position they have in Christ and rejoice in it. Thank you, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.